Grace, mercy, and peace to you through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for meditation is another reading from John 6, which I believe is 3 of 6 that we'll be taking a look at during these weeks of August. This is the reading in John 6 that begins in the 24th verse to verse 35. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." And they said to him, "What must we do to be working the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So far the text. In the name of Jesus, the bread of life, dear fellow redeemed, we live in a very health-conscious society. People expending a fair amount of energy, time, and resources to safeguard their physical well-being. Many folks are concerned about including physical activity in their schedules, like doing some walking or jogging or biking or working out. They take care to maintain a diet that will foster good heart health, so they monitor their intake of sodium and sugar and foods high in cholesterol. Food manufacturers are kind enough to include on the backside of their food products a little chart informing the consumer about the nutritional value contained in a single serving of the item, how many vitamins and minerals. Be concerned about your physical health is good. It's a gift God has given you that He does want you to manage wisely during your life of service to Him as a wise and faithful steward. As Christians, though, we also recognize, don't we, the paramount importance of digesting and ingesting regular amounts of good spiritual food for our soul's welfare. And Jesus in our text speaks to us about that, counseling us in his Savior love to give keen attention to the care and to the feeding of our spirits and of our souls, ingesting ample amounts of the bread that gives life, life eternal. The episode from Jesus' ministry we read about here in our text is drawn from the so-called Bread of Life chapter, John 6. In this chapter, we're told how Jesus, after spending the lion's share of the day teaching the people the words of eternal life, that crowd gathered on the eastern shore of Lake Galilee and healing their sick. And as the sun dipped low on the horizon and the shadows of evening started to fall, he used his power, as you know, to feed the hungry crowd with loaves and fish. and then instructed his disciples to climb aboard their boat, go back to the other side, sail back to Capernaum. And when he perceived that the crowd was wanting to take him by force and make him their earthly king, their bread king, he then withdrew to a nearby mountain to spend some quality time alone with his heavenly Father in prayer. Then we arrive at the events of our text, which happened the very next day. I might also mention one other event from the previous night that you'll recall, and it's good to highlight. As the disciples were rowing across the sea in their fishing skiff, when they got about 4 miles out, that's when that violent storm kicked up, and as they rowed hard against the wind and the crashing waves, trying to keep their boat afloat, fearing of drowning, that is when Jesus, after ending his prayer session on the mountain, came walking out to them on the water, letting them know they were not seeing a ghost. "It is I, be not afraid," he said. And he stepped into the boat, stilled the storm, and John, according to his account of this incident, then he says immediately, the boat was at the other shore. Wow. So those were the events of the day and the night before. Now we read here in our text that some of the people that Jesus had fed on the previous evening seemed to have not been able to get that miracle of Jesus, of the loaves and fish, out of their heads. So they went on a quest for Jesus. And they finally located him in Capernaum, and they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Not because they had a keen interest in finding out the exact time when Jesus had got to that city. The question behind their question was, how did he get here so quickly? Point A to point B, so fast. Had he perhaps done another supernatural miracle? If so, and he seems to be able to do marvelous things with his power, maybe we can still talk him into being our king and using his superpowers to help us realize our dream of restoring the Israelite nation to a position of prominence on the world stage. Sure, it would be wonderful to have someone like that who will supply our temporal desires and make our lives lovely and pleasant all the time. Jesus, in his omniscience, of course, could read their minds. We see that from his answer. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw the signs, my miracles, which are proofs that I am God's Son, your heavenly King, come to provide you for or with your all-important soul needs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Instead of being drawn closer to me and to my teachings by faith through these miraculous signs, you were just enthralled by them, and you had plenty to eat yesterday, and now you want me to give you some more. And then he said, "Do not work for that. Make it not your quest, your main quest, to go after food that spoils, but work for the food that endures to eternal life, which I, the Son of Man, will give you." Now, friends, this desire, this hankering after this quest for earthly enjoyments, to have an earthly bread provider, of course, is still very much in evidence today. We see it, for example, in the popular millennialistic teaching espoused by many in the church world, if you're acquainted with that. Those who view Jesus as somebody who's going to return to our world and he's going to inaugurate a golden age here, reigning from Jerusalem, and all the godly shall take possession of the kingdom of the world, and all the godless will everywhere be suppressed. for 1,000 years, and then comes the end, according to this teaching, or versions of it. It's an appealing idea, isn't it? Jesus going to come back and put the kibosh on all crime, wars, evil conduct, and establish a utopia on earth when all will be pleasant for his Christians. Now, as you know, Jesus in the Bible nowhere encourages us to expect that or to look for that to ever happen. In fact, he's given us fair warning, hasn't he? That right up till the end, evil will proliferate, lawlessness will abound, nations will go to war against each other, troubles will be experienced by his church right up to the day when he then does appear once for all to raise all the dead from the cemeteries, condemn the godless and the devils to hell's torments, and give to his dear believers eternal life and everlasting joy in that new heaven and the new earth that he will create. But again, not before then, not before that last great day. But another way, the quest for the food that spoils is an evidence in our world is the love that the world shows, the preoccupation that it shows in hankering after fleeting worldly pleasures. Just turn on the television. Doesn't take long, does it, for ads to be shown that encourage consumers to think, you know, if you just buy this product, this piece of merchandise, it's going to make you happy and put you on cloud nine. Similarly, movie trailers encourage prospective moviegoers to embrace this notion that the amenities of this present world are what you should quest after. That's what's going to make you happy. Make that your goal, therefore. Pop-up ads that appear on your computer screen while surfing the net or bottom of your smartphone are also, in some ways, expressions of the Weltanschauung. That's a German word. The world view or the world viewpoint, the philosophy of life that says, live for the here and now and while you can because your life will end and then you won't be able to enjoy anything. This is all there is. It's all these passing earthly enjoyments, however, that Jesus here in our text describes as food that spoils. They leave the person who quests after them to the exclusion of the heavenly treasures and amenities he came to provide in his Savior love, feeling quite empty inside, still spiritually hungry, still troubled by this nagging sense that something's missing. Sometimes people can't really put a finger on this void they have. They may try to fill that void in their inner soul with a quick fix, such as work or recreation or some other diversion, but none of these things can provide them with the true happiness that the Lord Jesus wants them to have and to enjoy. So what is the source then of the bread that gives true satisfaction, contentment, peace, life to the full? You know, in our text, Jesus told the people after they made reference to the story in the Old Testament of the earthly manna bread that God provided to the Israelite desert wanderers through Moses. And he said, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's the joy of the Christian gospel, isn't it, that you know Jesus is the source of true happiness and fulfillment and peace. Jesus, the Word made flesh, who descended from heaven to fulfill God's law for all sinners, to lay down his life, to atone for all our transgressions, and then to come alive after being dead, to assure us that he won the victory over death for us all. By his work as our heavenly King, he obtained for us the peace of sins forgiven, peace with God, the guarantee of life that goes on forever. It's because he wants to supply us with this nourishment that he teaches, encourages, yes, most fervently urges us to keep on eating up his words for their soul nutrition value, because he uses them to help us to maintain good cardio fitness, spiritually speaking, to supply us with the spiritual energy that we require, the stamina and the endurance for running a well-disciplined race of faith, to be champion Olympic runners spiritually, and to win finally the gold medal prize of the crown of righteousness that he will award to all who long for his appearing. Let's also be reminded, friends, on this Sunday, the first of the month, of the blessing of Holy Communion. We're also able to ingest and to digest Jesus' words by faith and be nourished through his life-giving gospel. You may have noticed how many of the songs in the Lord's Supper section of our hymnal remind us of this teaching of Christ. A couple examples. Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly pray that we may feed on thee today. Beneath these forms of bread and wine, enrich us, nourish us spiritually with your grace divine. I come, O Savior, to thy table, for weak and weary is my soul. Thou, bread of life, alone art able to satisfy and make me whole. Thy body given for me, O Savior, and thy blood which thou for me didst shed, these are my life and strength forever. By them my hungry soul is fed. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good, the highest nourishment. So make then that your ongoing quest. Be concerned about your physical well-being. Go to the doctor. Take your meds for cholesterol or high blood pressure or whatever. Try to eat right. Get some exercise. That's all good. Expend energy. It's a good thing in the pursuit and acquisition of earthly bread, too. So you can earn a paycheck and pay the bills and take care of yourself and your family members. But especially as you peripateo, remember the sermon last Sunday, that Greek word? As you walk through your life in this world as a Christian, as you do that, keep questing, especially after Christ and the bread that he lovingly supplies. The four-course meal for the soul he serves here at church, in your devotions, as you listen to a Bible podcast, as you go out on a jog, or as you run, as you drive down the road in your car, rejoice that the Lord is there to nourish your soul, and rejoice also you never have to look far to find him in your quest or search long for this delicious meal for the Spirit, because he's disclosed to you the exact place where you can find it and his fabulous heavenly gifts, his word. Psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." So in conclusion, then, we pray, "Blessed Lord, who's caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold